The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
And welcome to Spawned, a common sense and hopefully fun discussion on parenting and parenting culture, and a great diversion for those of you like us on the East Coast that are getting ready for Snowmageddon.
Once again, every year there's a Snowmageddon.
Version 4.
Of defeats the whole purpose of Armageddon, but you know, we'll just go with it. Hey, I'm Liz Gumbiner.
And I'm Kristen Chase, and we're the co-founders of CoolMomPics.com.
On today's episode of Spawned, we are going to talk about, first of all, why is everyone we love dying?
I know, enough already. I'm sick of it.
It's been a tough week for rock stars.
And then we're going to talk about a question from a reader that we thought was really fantastic. It's friendships, adult friendships, after you have kids.
Or her kids after friendships.
Exactly. And finally, we'll close out our show with each of our own cool picks of the week. Now, of course, you guys can find us other places other than in your phone and your podcast app. We're on Twitter.
Yes, and huge shout out to Geek Trooper. He's like my favorite person on Twitter who's always like shouting out and using the hashtag, and we can always find his comments about the show. Very cool guy.
Yes, and that's what he does. He tweets us. We love to hear from folks on Twitter, but you can find us on Facebook as well. We're on Instagram. It's all at Cool Mom Picks. It's P-I-C-K-S, in case you've been searching for us with P-I-C-S.
Yeah, that's a whole different, like, MILF thing. Very weird. We have nothing to do with that whatsoever, and we're dealing with the trademark issues.
Yes. Thank you very much. All right, well, this is a little, I have to say, a little depressing, but also just frustrating.
I'm emotional, like, even thinking about it. But David Bowie meant a lot to me. He was, like, the guy that taught you that it was okay to be weird, or that it was okay to be different. And, you know, probably because I grew up in the 80s, a little ahead of you, Kristen.
Just a bit.
Like, to me, he wasn't the guy who was in Legend. And it was interesting seeing all the tributes to him from my friends on Facebook and on social media. I think based on when you were born was how you perceived him. Like, whether he was just this guy who did Let's Dance and Blue Jean, or whether, you know, you knew him from his earlier music.
No, that's a great point. And I think, but what's so terrible is it's sort of, I know the rule of threes.
Yeah.
When people, but I feel like he just started this whole, you know, massive amount of people. I mean, I know Alan Rickman isn't a musician, but then he passed away.
It's a huge loss.
Yeah.
He was an amazing, amazing actor. And for those of you who don't know him in anything besides the Harry Potter movies, just go look at his filmography. What an amazing actor. Going back to Die Hard, I think that's the first time I saw him.
Well, and I watched Sense and Sensibility, which is one of my favorites. Well, and then Glenn Frey. And,
you know,
Natalie Cole recently passed away. And
Lenny from Motorhead.
Lenny. Jeez.
I know. It was a tough, like, the last few months have been tough. And I think the hard thing is that they're not dying from drugs. You know, like, it's one thing.
I don't know
when,
why I'm laughing.
I know, that's awful. But, like, you know, there are a lot of, obviously, people in the music industry that die through really terrible, tragic circumstances. These are just people that are old enough to die of cancer or natural causes or horrible. Like, Glenn Frey died of pneumonia, which is
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you know, I am always very sensitive when someone passes away. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, I assume, like, we all are at some level. But what is it about these folks I can't stop thinking about it.
In their 20s, it probably feels a little different, but I'm in my 40s. You're almost there.
A few months.
And when people start to be like not too much older than you or closer to your contemporaries, you really feel it in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, when I remember I was 20 years old at my internship in Cleveland, Ohio, and they did this whole questionnaire when we first arrived about perspective and perceptions. And one of the questions was, what do you consider to be middle-aged? Mm-hmm. And I said,
what did you say?
35.
Oh, God. So sad. It's kind of true. But
I remember the look on my internship director's face when I said that, because for me, that's what it was. But now, you know, 69, 70 to me is so young.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a similar story. I remember starting my first job in advertising. I was 21 or 22. And there were two guys who were a little more senior than me, a creative team. And at the time, they were 30, which seemed super old to me. And I remember asking them if they were creative directors. They said, no, we're senior copywriters. And I remember thinking, God, what losers that you're not like a creative director by the time you're old and 30.
Old and 30.
I know. I didn't say that to them. And they're very nice guys and very talented. But I do remember thinking that that was the age at which like your life was supposed to be complete.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's amazing how it changes as you get older.
Now I'm like, 70 is not old. 80 is not old.
No.
87. Oh, B.B. King died at 89. That's so young. He had his life to live. Like, yeah. It really changes.
You know, the other thing I have to say is, I think why it's really affecting me is that you mentioned it before, that a lot of these deaths do often happen from drug overdoses. In a way, I think in my mind, I feel like that's preventable, right? Like, I am not going to be doing that. But when it's cancer,
like,
or when it's pneumonia, it really hits home.
Well, it's almost like these people seem immortal in some way. Mm-hmm. Our idols seem immortal to us, and that they can be stricken by the same thing that any of us can. I think there's something disconcerting about that. It's like cognitive dissonance. Like, how can the famous person get cancer? That's for regular people like us. Famous people are immune.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
a
strange thought process. And I think it's also interesting just how emotional we feel about people we've never met. And we wrote about that on our site. On Cool Mom Picks. You know, sometimes I see people making fun of people who are upset when a beloved celebrity, athlete, rock star, politician dies. And I think those people, you know, it's a tribute to them that they've really gotten into our hearts and minds to a degree that we feel personally affected by their loss.
Yeah. No. I think that's so true. So what have you been doing? Have you been jamming out?
I've been listening to Bowie nonstop. I've been playing my kids Oh You Pretty Things, which is one of my favorite of his, I guess, lesser known songs, and determined to get my kids to like it as much as they like All About That Bass. I'm not quite there yet. but I'm, you know, I'm playing them the stuff that I remember listening to Suffragette City. I think everyone has like one Bowie song where they listened to it for the first time and said, what is this? And for me, it was Suffragette City. Like, who is this guy? And so I think I'm just kind of going through the playlist with my kids, trying to figure out what will exactly catch their attention. So far, Changes is pretty good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. That same internship that I talked about was where I was first introduced to David Bowie.
Oh, really?
Because I, growing up, had a very limited exposure to music, which is weird because I'm a musician, but it was... it was all classical music. And so when I got to my internship, it was so important as a music therapist to really know and understand and appreciate a wide library of music. And one of those happened to be David Bowie. And I just remember jamming. We used to jam in the hallways to all the songs.
He was really, I mean, we were kind of talking about this before we started recording, but he was just really prolific. And if you listen to Changes, that's a piano bar song. Listen to it. It's like Billy Joel could have written that intro. And he just was so varied. And there's so few people out there that are making relevant music for four decades or more that, you know, go through his song list, you guys. If you think he's like that weird guy with the crazy makeup in Legend and that's only the way you think about him, just go online, go on YouTube, and just start going through his songs. I think it's almost hard to not like him. Like, I don't know anybody that doesn't like something from David Bowie.
Well, he's got so much. He really touched on so many different genres in a way that I think you can always find something. Well, I think it's a great opportunity. Of course, maybe now we should start exposing, at least I'm going to start exposing my kids to great music before, and movies, before people die. That's my goal now. I don't want it to be after they pass away.
We should appreciate people while they're living.
Yes. All right. So if you guys have a favorite song, like what have you been doing? How do you feel about this? Is it freaking you out as much?
Next? Do you know that there's a Twitter feed called Abe Vigoda Watch?
I know.
And every single day they just tweet, still here.
The funniest thing that I heard was when they said, please, someone put a circle of light around Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart.
Oh, God forbid. Jeez. I know all the gallows humor comes out.
Well, anyway, you guys know where you can find us on Twitter at CoolMomPicks with a hashtag Spawn Show. Catch us on Facebook or drop us an email if you've got a favorite song. We'd love to know. Spawned at CoolMomPicks.com. All right, so Liz, we got a great question. It was really short and sweet from a listener, Sherry.
Yeah.
And she just asked us if we could discuss how friendships change when you start having children.
This is such a good question, and it's so common. And we've talked a little bit about it before, but they really do change. And I think a lot of people think, well, when I have kids, I'm going to still have all my best friends. And guess what? You won't.
Okay.
That's the end of the show.
And now on to... No.
No, I mean, I can tell you, like, a personal story that I had, like, my dearest friend in the whole world from college and through our 20s and into our 30s. And we were inseparable. I mean, everybody thought we were lesbians because we, like, we would actually go out on Valentine's Day together to West Village restaurants, like, lesbians frequented. So they'd treat us really nicely when we were single on Valentine's Day and they'd give us roses.
That's actually a great hack.
It was
you might
awesome.
Want to write that one up.
We were like, if we're going to be single, we're going to like get roses, damn it. So anyway, she was an amazing friend and still is, but I don't see her very much. And what happened was she ended up getting married before I did. Well, I'm still not married, so long before I did. Meeting an amazing guy, committed partner before I did, and having a kid. And that really changed everything because she started, I think, kind of a new circle of friends. And then what happened was she got pregnant with her second child when I got pregnant with my first. We had the same due date.
Oh,
pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. She ended up being a couple of days early. I was a little bit late, but we had
and so
kids
there was
at the same
no
time.
Like reunited. And
well, that's
it
what
feels
I was hoping for.
So good.
No. Little peach is a nerve.
But no, that didn't happen.
Well, I thought so. I thought, oh, good. Now we have kids who are the same age. They'll be best friends and they'll have play dates. And it just didn't happen because by then she already had a 3-year-old. Her circle of mom friends was kind of established. Her routines were set around the oldest child, which is something, I mean,
yes.
You know about, really.
Yes.
And, you know, we still get very melancholy when we talk to each other, not nearly enough. And how much we miss each other, but we just can't seem to connect in the same way anymore. And
so,
that's 10 years later.
But what was it exactly? I mean, was she a little eye-rolly at you, like the new mom?
No, not at all. I think it was just a matter of circumstance. She moved to New Jersey, so she was a little further away. I will say, her husband and I weren't the best of friends.
Oh, well,
at the time.
There you go. But I mean, for you, I mean, for people that aren't in New York, it's mm-hmm. interesting because, you know, North Jersey people commute all the time, but it is difficult to get to. It's not
yeah.
like an easy thing.
No,
especially when
you live
have
in
babies.
Manhattan, you're like, oh, that drugstore's 3 blocks away. Oh, I'm not going.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
everything
suburbs,
has to be on your block.
Yeah, see, people don't realize, like me, the suburban mom's like, whatever. But I have learned it hanging out with you.
Yeah, people want to walk in their neighborhood. So the idea of actually having to take like 2 trains, a bus, and a cab
to
get to someone is, yeah, you don't see them as
right.
much.
So
a lot
husband...
of it was location, circumstance. But I think also just she wasn't the new mom going through the new mom stuff like I was. And I think that's what I thought would bond us. And I realized it happened to friends that had a kid a year after I did, that I think then they thought, oh, good, now we have a lot in common. And we did, but I was already, you know, with the stressed out moms of 1-year-olds and trying to figure out what that phase of parenthood was like. And I wasn't dealing with the newborn stuff, which felt like a million years earlier.
Well, so. I think that's a big issue in that there are definitely subcultures in parenting based mm-hmm. on your kid's age.
Definitely.
And I think while and if you weren't like super duper friends before, I mean, look, there's other stuff because my best friend her first was born about 6 months after my second,
uh-huh.
but we're still super close.
Right.
I like her husband. I mean, not in that way, but
and
I like
he
her
likes
husband.
You?
And he likes me.
No, I
mean,
know that.
Who doesn't like me, Liz? Hello. That's sort of a...
And I like you all.
So, I mean, that situation for us, that didn't affect our friendship. But I will say... she didn't have kids and I had a newborn and
right.
There definitely was a difference in experience, although she worked with children as her job. So she had a lot of empathy and had been around kids.
Well,
a lot.
I think that's some of it too. If you have kids and your friends don't, then what will that change? Well, I think it depends on your friends. Are they interested? Because some people are like, oh, I love babies. I want to come over all the time and bring you a million gifts and be like the cool godmother. And that usually helps you maintain the friendship. And then look, there's a lot of single
Yeah, that women, just, and they don't get it. They just don't get it.
They don't get it. They don't understand. And nor should they, by the way. I mean, it's like very hard to understand what someone else is going through with the emotion and fatigue and total stress of your parenthood.
There's also a level of like, really, you're obsessed with a nap. Like, is that what it comes to? Well, and I know I wanted to just be like, oh, just you wait. Just you wait and see.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there are even single women that stop or cease friendships or change friendships when their friends get married. I know a lot of people like that, where the single friend became jealous of the married friend or whatnot, or the married people started having more couple friends. So I think just when your life circumstances change in general, whether that's having a kid, a new relationship, a move, a promotion, new work, like those change the circles that you run in and the things you're concerned about. And I think we all kind of seek out people who are similar to us and going through what we're going through. And it's kind of why, you know, if you're at a white collar job, an office job, the interns all become friends and all the like junior entry level people
absolutely.
Become friends.
It's, you know? Not, I mean, it's not a new phenomenon. I don't think it only affects people with children. I think, though, you know, the other thing is that you have different values.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, before you had kids, you might have been a certain way. And then you have kids and your friend has kids, but they're, you know, maybe they let their kids run wild or maybe they're spankers.
Oh, yeah.
And well, then you're like, who are you?
Well, that's a good point. Like, I think there are also parents who, like, cannot be anything but parents when they're new parents. It's like, shut up about the baby already. Like, how many people do we know on Facebook? It's like, okay, your 80th sonogram picture. We get it. You're having a baby.
I blame smartphones. Seriously. Because when we had our first babies, there were no smartphones. So you couldn't
overshare. If you wanted to overshare, you had to make a phone call.
I feel like we need a questionnaire. Are you an oversharent? Because then we cannot be friends. But I think here's the thing. If you're an oversharer and I'm an oversharer, we can overshare together.
Hey, we are both bloggers. A lot of people consider that oversharing.
That's true. So, but I mean, we both, I think, have interests outside of our children and appreciate that. And that's one of the reasons why we're friends, although we met after having kids. I think when you have someone who can't stop talking about her kids, and you've got another person who has kids and just kind of wants to go out for coffee and maybe talk about like the weather.
Yeah, I want to talk about something using more than one syllable words at a time.
But I have found the most challenge for me is that I disagree with how people handle their children. And so
your parenting values and tactics are different.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that creates a lot of problems for a lot of people.
It really does. And I don't know, like, how do you handle that? How would you handle it?
Well, I read a post once that, you know, I tried to be diplomatic about it, but it was troubling for me. And I called it booby for one, non-smoking, something with a view, perhaps. And I had a friend who was not like a best friend, but, you know, like a, you know, she was in my social circle and we were friendly and we had babies around the same time. And she came over with her 2-year-old and, you know, 2-year-olds are running around and talking and have personalities. And he was like, Mom, booby. And she wiped out the boob and breastfed, and I was like, oh my goodness. And I really, you know, I didn't want to judge her for extended breastfeeding, and so I really tried to analyze myself, like, what is it about this that's bothering me? And I think partly it's that when I said to her, you know, I don't really know anyone who's still nursing a 2-year-old, so excuse me for, you know, being a little, you know, trying to process this. And her response was, oh, I'm so, you know, she was very proud of it. And she said, he's still 95% breastfed. And I'm like, what's the other 5%? And she goes, food. And that's what freaked me out. I was like, you're not feeding him any food?
What?
I know.
95.5 for a 2-year-old?
Yeah.
And hey, like, listeners, I had 4 kids and I breastfed for 7 years straight. Did you know that?
Bless your boobs. My goodness.
It was like me, and I loved it.
You
don't
need,
get me wrong.
You need, like, 2 plaques over your nipples in the form of pasties. Like, we have done our service to Kristen's body and 4 children.
Does it come with
plaques? Let us rest in peace.
Does it come with nipple surgery, Liz? That's what the plaques come for. That's why I need them, to cover them up.
They get, like, medals of honor. I have done my duty. I've served proudly. You need like, veterans compensation for that.
I think, like, just a nipple
Obama,
ring can solve it.
Get on that.
Now, all that to say, I nursed my oldest past the age of 2. However, mm-hmm. it was a 95-5 in terms of 95% food.
Yeah, and a lot 5% of people still nurse their toddlers to sleep.
Of course. Yeah. And I did. So I think, you know, and look, here's the thing. If that's something that, you know, if people are super uncomfortable with that and they've got someone who is, like, that is a friendship divide. That can really change
it
a friendship.
It was tough. And I really did try to look at myself and figure out what's my issue with it. And I'm sure a lot of it was cultural. A lot of it was just not being around that from an experience standpoint. Part of it was just she got weird. Like, she was like, my little booby baby. He's my little booby baby. Like, there was something super, like, Oedipal, and it was like what's her name, Catelyn Stark's sister in Game of Thrones, who's like breastfeeding her 10-year-old. Our producer's nodding.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so there was something a little like infantilizing about it, I think in the end that's what really got me. It wasn't that she just kind of nonchalantly was breastfeeding, because that's a decision that doesn't affect me, and I want to try not to judge parents for decisions that don't affect me.
Yeah, but you could also make the decision that those things are more important to you than, you know, hanging out all the time.
Right.
And maybe you only go out without your children, and then you can see if she can't go out without her booby baby. You're like, can we just go out with the boobies and not the booby baby?
For me, the bigger issue was when I realized that friends or like acquaintances from the neighborhood, or, you know, you were in a new mom's group or something, and as our kids got older, that they were like competi-mommies. That they were always comparing and judging. That, like, definitely severed friendships. There was, I think, an economic divide. Like, I was really struggling at the time that I had young kids and things were tight. And it was really tough for me to be around women that had, like, 2 nannies and a cook.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Like, I was envious and frustrated, and it was just tough for me to stay friends with those people. And by the way, it was probably tough for them to stay friends with me, because I couldn't afford to go do the things that they wanted to do. Like, they'd be like, hey, let's take our kids to whatever that costs $60 a person.
Yeah.
That they'll never remember because they're 2 years
factor.
Old.
Well, yeah. That's a huge factor. I mean, for me, I was living in Mississippi, and so I'm from New Jersey. I was really out of my element, and I was really struggling with missing work, even though I was working part-time.
And you were on a military base.
I was close to a military base, but I was teaching part-time at a university, but I didn't have any friends prior to that with children. And so when I had kids, I had no friends with kids, and that presented a huge challenge. And also, I think I was very rigid. I mean, I was like, nap time is this time, and feeding is this time, and bedtime is this time.
You had a birth plan. You were one of those people who were like, I know how I'm going to do this. I'm researching
this.
Me, the dad nerd, I'm like, all I know is epidural. That's it. That's the only thing on my list. Anything else, whatever.
But, you know, as I had more kids, I got more flexible, and it actually helped my social life, because I wasn't so much about having to be home at a certain time for nap. I said, you know, I can be out and about. I can hang out with a friend. Our older kids can play
together.
Do you
think the rigidity of your schedule cost you friendships? Like the, I have to be home promptly at 11:10 for nap time?
I don't know if it cost me friendships, but what it cost me was time and energy put on myself, which I think is really important for mothers, is to have that time to yourself, the time to take care of yourself. But I will say, one of the things that has greatly affected relationships and changed them is how these other people deal with their children. And I'm not perfect. Believe me, my kids can, you know, you've seen my kids. They're pretty good, but everyone has their moments.
Yeah, but when you have 4, one of them's going to do something
one
that you're
of them's
not aware
do,
like, of.
But I mean, generally speaking, I want my kids to, you know, behave in restaurants. If they start screaming, I take them out. Like, there are just certain things, like respectful things that I do. And I've had friends that just will sit there at a restaurant and let their kids scream and cry and throw things or whatever. And I'm like, you know, we just can't go out together with our children.
I have had a similar experience, and I think that's tough. And what I've tried to do is maintain those relationships, but not with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, I don't want my kids to pick up that behavior necessarily. And especially when my kids were really little, like, I just didn't want to deal with it. Honestly.
Yeah.
It would be embarrassing to be in a restaurant that's local where I know all the staff and we go all the time, and they're just like letting their kids like run around and lick light sockets. And that's not too far from the truth. You know, when like you're seeing waiters balancing trays of hot coffee and like almost tripping over their kids that are running around. Like, and then it's so awkward, because what do you say? Like, oh, maybe your kids should sit down. Like, it's like what we talked about, the spinach in the teeth last week. It's very tough to give you know, parenting suggestions, especially to new parents, because we're all so insecure and stressed out and we don't want to like create some big mommy war thing. And so I had a couple incidents like that where I realized, okay, I like this person. I just maybe am not so comfortable with who they are when they are a parent. And so we should be together as women and not as parents.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's come down to people that have similar values, people that have kids of similar ages. I mean, I don't think I'm really friends with anyone right now that has a baby, and not because I have some sort of rule against moms with babies being my friend. And I also think that when you find someone like that, you can take cues from them. You know, so I've taken some cues from you in terms of some of the things that you do with your kids, the rules that you have with
and
your
kids. And vice versa.
Yeah.
Your kids who actually do chores.
So I think, you know, that shows to me a lasting friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, you may not agree with everything, but you say, that's a really good idea. I might try that with my kids. Or when I'm around them, I know that maybe my kids need to do this because it's respectful of what you do.
Well, I think for those of you listeners with young kids and you're still grappling to find your people, there are a lot of ways to do that. And I will say it starts to happen naturally when you become part of your community. And that may be just by being at the playground and meeting people through your kids. It may be like going to, I want to say mommy and me, but like that's a crappy term, isn't it?
Yeah, parent and me. Caretaker and me.
There we go.
Because I used to teach those classes and we had grandparents, uncles, nannies.
Yeah,
we had everyone there.
So,
stranger,
you know, if you're
on the street.
adult and me classes. And you get to know those people. And it's funny because I still remember my daughter at like 18 months old in a music for toddlers class. And this one woman I thought was really cool. And she had this son who was really cool. And cut to 10 years later, they're in fifth grade together.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that happens all the time.
Yes, it does.
And so I think, you know, especially in a kind of smaller community like my part of Brooklyn, there are people that you will continue to see throughout your life. Also, that's another good lesson, not to burn bridges. Don't have a fight with the lady in the playground who's like comparing her kids, you know, my kids.
Because you will see them later.
Yeah, you'll see them a lot.
They'll be your classroom mom in third grade.
It happens. They always say, like, don't burn bridges, you know, at work. Well, it's the same thing with, like, your mom friends and the people in the neighborhood. But I think once, especially we got into preschool and kindergarten, I ended up finding really amazing people with great values. And sometimes, you know, your kids become friends and you hang out with the parents out of circumstance. And sometimes you realize you really like those parents. So you're kind of like, hey, Val, don't you want to have another play date with Georgia again? You know, because you want to be able to hang out with her parents.
Well, that is a huge twist. Do we want to go there? Because what happens when you really like the parents, but your kids don't really like each other? Or you really like the parents and you can't stand their kids?
Well, if you like the parents and can't stand their kids, I think it goes back to,
don't be around them with their children.
Yeah. Or, you know, if there's some chaperone a class trip opportunity, you know, then make sure you both do it so you can hang out together and your kids don't necessarily have to hang out together. You can find
that's
circumstances.
A good point. Look at you.
Also, there's the birthday party circuit, right?
Yes.
Like in preschool.
I'm sure the circuit.
good Lord. That thing nearly put me in bankruptcy. Like when your kids are like 3 and 4 in preschool, everyone's like, we have to invite the whole class to every party. Well, if you've got like 18 kids times 18 parties, you're like going to one or two birthdays a weekend.
That's
it's
true.
Crazy.
That becomes your social calendar.
And your like entire budget. It's like no lattes for me. I got to buy another birthday
gift. I am a bit of a hermit, I have to admit, and I don't do a lot of the school activities. I don't know if we have a lot of, I think we have a lot of work at home parents, honestly, in my little school. I think we have a lot of stay at home parents.
I think people divide along those lines, too.
And I think it's hard to meet other people that way. So I think if you are trying to find friends, a really great way is just to get involved a little bit. You don't have to go overboard. You know, of course, there are all those groups. I think there's like MOPS, and of course, there's like the La Leche Leagues. There's all sorts of ways where moms gather. And I think you really have to think about, is that something, are they going to share the similar values or the same values as you before you decide to spend time in doing that?
Well, I will say that's the one thing, one of many things, I will say for the internet. And, you know, if people are using Match.com for dating, they're certainly using it to find parent friends. And it's how we met. And I've always said, like, one of the amazing things that the internet and blogging and now social media has done for moms in particular is give them a community outside of their geography. Give them potential to meet people that they aren't stuck with because of circumstance, but they really bond with over values. And I think that's how we became such good friends, and so many of the women that we continue to work with and colleagues and friends that we met online and now are friends in person, because we read each other's writing, we got to know each other online, and we really liked each other's values and what we had to say about the world, that we perceived it the same way. We talked about our kids in similar ways, what we wanted for them, how we treated behavioral issues, things like that. You don't necessarily get that when you're just meeting school parents. You have to find that out over time.
Yeah, like, you do.
She's spanking her kid.
And it's very time-consuming,
yeah,
too, to find someone and meet someone. Because then, you know, you pick up your kid after school, and then what, you hang out and talk? And it's just a little weird.
But I think it's okay to kind of have different types of friends.
Yeah,
so you may have, like, the acquaintances in your community that you hang out with and your kids have play dates, and that's perfectly fine. But you may have, like, your real close, like, I can tell them anything, I can ask them any question friends, who may not even live in your community. They may be people you met online or through, you know, baby center birth groups or through, you know, Mommy Poppins and Big City Moms are two incredible groups in New York City that have events in person and help people connect, or like the NYC Dad Group,
yeah,
which has locations now all over the country. Like, they're these amazing kind of meetups of
parents.
They
are kind of like Match.com for parents.
They are. There's the NYC Dads, good Lord, they have a thing in like 80 dads and all their, you know,
well,
and
they're in other cities too. Mommy Poppins is in other cities as well.
Yeah, she's in Philly, San Francisco, Boston.
I really like the idea of sometimes you have to resign yourself to different kinds of friendships. I think that's hard, though, especially if, like, you know, your situation with your best friend, if you were you were bosom friends with someone for a really long time, you know, then you had kids and it's not the same. It's so hard also because when you have kids, so much changes. You want to have one thing that doesn't. You're like, can I
that's
have
a
one
great
thing
point
that doesn't change? And you know
and
what?
And it's not your boobs.
Or your stomach. Or your butt. Or your sleep. Should we go on? You know, we really want something that stays the same. And so it's disappointing. And you know what? Sometimes you just have to grieve.
That's why I like jewelry.
You have to mourn.
My earrings still fit.
I'm trying to be serious here, Liz Governor, and you're talking about earrings.
No, it's true. It's true. You do have to mourn the loss of that old part of your life to some degree. And, you know, it's the old one door closes, one opens. And I think it gives you the ability to welcome other people into your life, too. And you know what? You may find that things come around in years and that you reconnect with old friends as well.
Yeah, especially when your kids get older. For those of you who have really young babies and kids,
because you can leave
them
at home and go out.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? You know what I love about doing this podcast is that so many people have commented, you've emailed and said that we feel like the mom friends that maybe you don't have or you wish you had. And so we say, but we can be your friends.
We can.
Yes.
Write to us. We're nice.
Yeah.
And if you're in New York or Philly, like, we'll go get coffee. We do that.
Or maybe even drinks.
Okay, so let's just summarize quickly a few tips for making new friends if you're struggling with that when you become a new parent. So one, start in your community, right? New
yes.
mom group, go to the playground, take your kids to classes, whatever you have to do, get out of the house. Even if you're not feeling great about yourself, just know those moms are not feeling great about themselves either.
That's why they make tunics and leggings.
Thank you.
Number two, school can really, really help. And I know that doesn't help people that don't have children in school, but if you do have school-aged kids, volunteer, be a part of the school party, the Valentine's Day party, which I'm sure they're
even just
up
like
soon.
Do drop-offs or pickups when you can.
Stay a little longer.
Yeah, you really get to know people. Also, don't be afraid to go on message boards, which you're all probably already doing. Look at social media like Match.com for parents. Go to great parenting blogs. Go on sites like Sheena's. Find people you love and connect with online that are talking about the things you're going through, and you may find your people online.
And then you can also seek out activities in your city and town that bring other parents out. Now, of course, we talked about Mommy Poppins and NYC Dads Group that do that in New York, and they also happen to be in Philadelphia. But there are so many groups now that have, you know, events that don't involve kids. It's just you as a human being going out for coffee. Imagine that.
I can't even imagine.
So we'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Help Sherry out. It was a really great question. Thank you so much, Sherry, for sending it to us. And she emailed us at spawned@coolmompics.com if you've got a question or comment, too. And guess what? A lot of people are a little backed up when it comes to listening to the shows, and that's okay. We had someone apologize for only being on episode 3, and that's all right.
Well, you know, the podcast app, it's like Miralax for podcasting. You just put it on and you can just flow from one episode to the next. Don't get backed up. Just use your podcast app. It will help.
Now I'm thinking about poop. Thanks, Liz.
Yay. Everything comes back to poop when you're a parent, let's be honest.
All right. Well, now it's time for...
Cool Picks of the Week. Cool Picks of the Week.
And Liz, I can't wait to hear your awesome Cool Pick of the Week.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a
timely one. No pressure.
This is a timely one. So about a year ago, I wrote up the most amazing snow boot ever. And it's getting to be that time, people. Those of us who have been lucky and haven't had to deal with, like, snowpocalypse yet, it's coming.
Winter Storm Jonas.
So get on Zappos and Amazon. Get those credit cards out. Order now, because by next week, everything will be gone if you're in the Northeast. So anyway, I wrote about the Sorel Tofino boot. It is the most awesome boot. It's, like, attractive. It's got little fake fur on the inside. It's super warm to where, like, if you wear it to the movie theater, you kind of want to take off your boots while you're watching the movie because you get so warm. It's a really good boot. And it was, like, $160. Right now, they're on sale for $119, which is really good.
What?
I know. I know that's really expensive still, but it's the kind of thing you're going to have forever and ever and ever and ever. And we talked about conscientious consumerism last week and buying things that'll last a long time. That's one of them.
Well, and also, if you guys are in Texas or Oklahoma or wherever it's warm, we understand that this might not be for you, but
But come visit in New York. And
well,
then you'll
no,
have an
excuse. But I moved from Atlanta to Philadelphia a few years ago and I had zero boots. I had no idea.
I think spending $120 on like solid boots that you won't slip and kill yourself, that's a good investment.
Well, also your feet aren't changing size, so you could potentially wear these for many,
yeah,
many winters.
I wouldn't get $120 boots for my kids, but for me, oh yeah, tried and tested and I swear by them, and we're really picky with that kind of stuff.
Now I know that we got a few people that yell at us a little bit over email and Twitter when we do things that are expensive, so I'm glad that you did a budget thing, because I'm gonna go crazy today with my pick.
Well, it's, you know, a budget for some people. I mean, $120 is still expensive. It's
yes,
not
it
like
is.
Payless shoes.
No.
But, you know, I would say amortize that over the 10 years that you'll wear them. And, like, it's, you know, $10 a year.
Well, I'm just saying that you're doing that because I'm going to talk about expensive mascara.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
let's
you just
it.
Did a huge, awesome post about beauty splurges. Because
my
I'm
favorite
with you.
Splurges. Yeah,
your
yeah.
favorite splurges. I think, especially hitting 40, I'm a little more conscientious of what I'm putting on my face.
Every so often, it's like I look at an Instagram with no filter, and I'm like, ooh, oh, I should have worn mascara that day. So I want to hear what you're recommending.
Well, yeah, so I put this up a couple days ago, and of course, we'll link these all on our podcast page. But I cannot say enough good things about Kevin Aucoin's The Volume Mascara.
Really?
Yes. And I've been using it for a year. And that's generally how long it takes me before I decide that it's the best thing ever. What's your time frame? Mine's a year.
Yeah, that's yeah. fantastic. I know it's really hard to find a good mascara.
So what I like about this, and I discovered it, I have to give props to Emily from Cupcakes and Cashmere. I don't know if you guys know her blog. But
who
she,
doesn't know Cupcakes and
I
Cashmere?
I know, silly people. So she recommended a year ago. I trust her. I tried it. It's a tube mascara. Mm-hmm. So it does not smudge or smear, which is a big thing for me.
What do you
me.
Mean by a tube?
So it,
aren't they all tubes?
No. This is very special. The product actually wraps around your lashes.
Oh.
So you don't even need makeup remover to get it off. You actually just have to rub your eyes with warm water on like a cotton ball or like a washcloth, and it comes off in like pieces, and then you just wash your face.
Ooh, so it's almost like a kind of like a gel type
yes,
thing?
Yes, exactly. Which means then it doesn't smudge or smear. It's not necessarily waterproof, but it is safe for people with contacts like me. Now, can I just say,
yeah.
I have not worn mascara on my bottom lashes before then, ever.
Are you
ever,
wearing
ever.
Them now?
I am wearing it
you
now.
You look good.
So it's expensive. It is expensive. It's
$28. Do you pair this with your Chanel liquid eyeliner?
I do.
You're getting the eyes down.
I am, because that's what I got left. I want people to look up as opposed to down.
But then how will they be able to see your medals of honor on your nipples, Kristen?
Oh, I don't know, Liz. I'm sure they'll be able to find them slung over my shoulder.
Well, that's a great pick. Kevin Aucoin's mascara. I'm going to look for that. You know, I don't know. I don't tend to splurge on mascaras, but, you know, I'm always willing
Give
to try.
Give it a try, and you let me know what you think.
I will. Thank
All right.
You.
Well, that's it for another episode of Spawned. Huge thanks to our engineer, Zach Dinerstein, our producer, Sarah Abdul. Deb Duerman, and also to Laura Mayer and Andy Bowers at Panoply.
And hey, make sure you subscribe to Spawned with Kristen and Liz on iTunes, Stitcher, your favorite podcast app, and download the episode so that you can hear it wherever you are.
And you know what? We're going to start having guests on Spawned, right,
Liz?
We are.
We have some good ones lined up.
And listen, if you guys have people that you would love to have us talk to, whether it's George Clooney, Ryan Reynolds.
They're just knocking down our doors.
Channing Tatum. What is his name? I guess I should learn it before we have him on. Even if it's your next door neighbor with the loud barking dog who never gets out of her bathrobe.
No, we're not interviewing her.
No, okay, maybe not her. Thanks for listening to Spawned. This is Kristen.
And this is Liz. Have a great day.
Bye.